Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
So you would have heard how global leaders met at the G7 summit over the weekend to discuss and coordinate solutions for important global issues. And summit leaders are in support of U.S. President Joe Biden's proposal for a global minimum tax of at least 15%. Now, this decision comes as no surprise after G7 finance leaders were earlier in favor of a tax rate of at least 15% during a June 5th meeting. Leaders also agreed that the tax rate would be on a country-by-country basis. Now, the purpose of the global minimum tax plan is to end corporate tax cutting by some multinational businesses trying to, you know, transfer profit and tax revenues to low-tax countries. But with the world still trying to figure out, you know, their way out of this COVID-19 situation, trying to work on their post-COVID plans, could this new plan potentially hinder developing nations' COVID-19 recovery, or does it help the situation? And what does it mean for Singapore in a broader scope? On the line to help me out with these questions and more is Patrick Cook, Managing Editor for Middle East and Asia, Oxford Business Group. Patrick, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot. I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for helping me out with this. Quite a number of issues coming out of the weekend. Obviously, that agreement on the global minimum tax. So new tax rules aimed at large multinational corporations. We've seen some mixed responses, to broadly put. What is your take on this new tax rule?
Well, sure. I mean, it's obviously, you know, still very much in the discussion phase, but, you know, there seems to be global momentum behind this now, and this could result in the biggest tax reforms for over a century, really. As you mentioned, you know, the real target here is to prevent profit shifting, whereby companies can find mechanisms to move profits to countries where they'll pay the least tax. So broadly speaking, you know, prevention of this would be a step in the right direction. It would stop multinationals from skirting their obligations on huge profits by moving into peripheral jurisdictions where they have little business activity. But I think the proposed amends are certainly not perfect, but they may be necessary for global consensus, and these changes will require multilateral engagement and consensus.
Okay, so talking a little bit about the global consensus, and also, could you touch on, you know, these new tax rules, how will it be in parallel to the OECD-led initiative?
Okay, yes. So they very much are in tandem. So the OECD and the G20, which is a larger, much more geographically varied grouping of major economies than the G7, that includes countries like China, Russia, India, Indonesia, and others, they're working basically in tandem on these tax reform measures. And there are hopes that support from the G7 will spur wider backing at a meeting of the G20 finance ministers next month. Okay. And they're aiming to strike an agreement by October.
So from 7 to 20, in that sense, how do you get from there to the whole world agreeing to implement this tax rate?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, the 20 design is designed to have a more sort of global representation of countries, you know, across the globe, the big economies like Indonesia, India, etc. So it's hoped that with their backing, you know, this would apply more broadly. But then at the end of the day, the OECD, you know, that is also a Paris headquartered organization. It's often been seen as, you know, representing more developed economies. And in that sense, you know, the G20 gives that voice to the more developing world, I suppose, to enable, you know, a broader perspective on this matter.
Right, right. Patrick, I want to talk winners and losers. And it's very natural for someone to say, okay, the losers are going to be your giants like Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple. They would be expected to pay more tax both in the US and in other countries where they generate profits. Sure, but do they really lose out? I mean, they already earn so much.
Yes, I mean, it's a good question. How much is too much? I mean, this is really aimed at them. I think currently under the current system, you know, they are the big winners of the current system, which is probably why there's so much momentum behind this current move. And developing countries themselves, you know, they're affected by this race to the bottom because they depend much more heavily on corporate income tax because they have weaker income tax bases. Mm. For example, the OECD average is 9% for corporate income tax in the overall basket. In Africa, that's 15.3%. And developed countries have a more mixed experience. You know, some benefit from having multinationals basing their headquarters there, but on the other hand, they do miss out due to this profit shift into tax havens. Then you have countries like Ireland, where they clearly use the low corporation tax rate to become more attractive. And this is, I think, a legitimate policy choice for a smaller country like Ireland that's traditionally underperformed its neighbors. And it's been able to create a competitive advantage. And Ireland specifically is very concerned that it will lose out from these proposals. But That is why the 15% has, you know, come down from the original proposal, is to get backing from countries like Ireland that won't find it too much of a hike from its current 12.5%.
But there's also on the side where a potential for the agreement to dump the digital services taxes. That happens, then you could potentially have Facebook and Amazon sort of benefiting in that sense, right?
Yeah, well, there's two pillars to these proposals. So what you're talking about here is the pillar one, which is focused on taxing profits generated in a jurisdiction by a multinational overseas. So, for example, you know, you could have Netflix generate significant profits from subscriptions in a country without having any real physical presence or paying any tax on sales. And we've seen a number of individual countries, both developed and developing countries, formulating their own digital tax policies to try and address this. So pillar one should help to create a global standard in that sense. And then when it comes to the tech giants, you know, the US has been a big in opposition of a digital tax, actually. You know, many of these tech giants are their own. So the US, in a way, wants this multilateral agreement to sort of negate any individual efforts to tackle global tech giants.
Right. So in that sense, in a broader picture, it sort of evens out. Am I right to assume that?
Yes. I mean, I think the impact on the tech giants, you know, will not be hugely significant to their business models, but it would give a more even share, if not a perfect share, to countries that currently don't capture any sort of additional revenue from the sales generated within those countries. And so in that sense, I think, again, a positive step in the right direction.
Okay. I'm on the line with Patrick Cook, who is Managing Editor for Middle East and Asia at Oxford Business Group. Patrick, narrowing it back to Singapore and perhaps other small nations, what does this global tax reform plan mean for Singapore?
Well, personally, I think this tax plan would have a minimal impact really on Singapore. So Singapore's corporate income tax rate of 17% is already the lowest in ASEAN, but it would be above the 15% minimum rate anyway. Marginally higher than Hong Kong, but in my opinion, you know, Singapore has a much better all-round package for international investors, especially considering, you know, China's recent moves to exert more direct influence on Hong Kong. I know Singapore has this reputation around the world as this pro-business jurisdiction, world-class digital and physical infrastructure, thriving startup ecosystem, deep pool of talented workers. So I think there are, and the government also offers, you know, numerous grants and incentives to foreign businesses. So I don't think this would have any impact on Singapore as a global business hub.
Okay, it's positioned itself to an advantageous sort of side. But what about other smaller countries or developing nations? Do you see it having a bigger impact there?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and this is something that Oxford Business Group explored somewhat in an article we published recently. You know, most developing countries already have a corporate income tax above the proposed minimum rate. And so, you know, beyond discouraging companies from moving profits to zero tax jurisdictions or tax jurisdictions below 15%, I don't think it will have a major impact on developing countries as well. But you know, countries around the world are grappling at the moment with record levels of borrowing, having been forced into wide-ranging COVID mitigation measures, and also suffering revenue shortfalls from the economic downturn. So any sort of efforts to increase tax revenues would be, you know, one effective way to offset the borrowing costs and revenue shortfalls. But I don't think it will have a transformational impact on developing countries. And we have to realize that the complexities of the negotiations mean it may take several years before these new rules are actually implemented at the country level, you know, from discussions on the technical features to achieving a political consensus and also putting in place the legislation to implement the rules.
Wow, that is a perspective. So, Patrick, are you saying that, you know, I mean, if I were to connect that with countries that are trying to recover from COVID, countries that are coming up with their post-COVID recovery plans, it really doesn't affect, because maybe by the time all of this goes through, we should technically be out of COVID?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of sort of sustainable long-term revenue generation, I think it will have an impact. But it's not going to have an impact on the sort of short-term recovery, just because it will not be in place in time. But I think, you know, we should always be looking towards a sustainable long-term development. And in that sense, you know, this will be a sort of net positive, I believe.
All right. I've been speaking with Patrick Cook, who is Managing Editor for Middle East and Asia at Oxford Business Group. Patrick, really appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe.
Thank you, Elliot. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.